on Brother Randy Folliard with today's message.
Greetings to all here during this beautiful Sabbath day. It's one of the nicer days we've had this week, so it's a blessing. Now, if you had to name the greatest promise in Yahweh's word, what would it be? What would you say? Some might say Yahshua's sacrifice, others might say Yahweh's mercy or grace. And while all these are part of the promise, they're not the promise alone. The greatest promise in Yahweh's word, I believe, is salvation. There's not a single greater promise than this. Now, how often do we really consider the promise of eternal salvation as Yahweh's people? Does it motivate us to do what is right according to the word? Does it encourage us to follow Yahweh in a world of sin and corruption? Does it allow us to forsake self and to follow Yahweh's way of life? Again, there's not a greater promise and there's not a greater motivator than for Yahweh's salvation. The thought of everlasting life in Yahweh's kingdom is overwhelming, and at times I believe is beyond our ability to understand, and fully anyway, as a promise that far outweighs beyond comparison the life that we have now. There's nothing in this life that we can possibly compare to Yahweh's salvation. The thought of everlasting life with Yahweh. It's a promise that, as Paul said, eye has not seen or ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of men. Yahweh's salvation in many ways is, again, simply beyond our ability to totally, fully appreciate and comprehend. But this should never stop us from pursuing that promise that Yahweh has given to mankind, to those who stay faithful to his calling, to those who follow his will. Never stop David from writing about Yahweh's salvation. Let's begin by looking at Psalms chapter 27. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. Here in the psalm, David adamantly, forthrightly says that Yahweh is, he is salvation. Psalms chapter 27, verse 1 says, Yahweh is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Yahweh is the strength of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? David writes here that Yahweh is his salvation. Now, this is the single most important truth when it comes to salvation, and that is that salvation is from Yahweh, our Father in heaven, and no other. We can't earn salvation from the Mighty One of Islam or the 3 million deities of Hinduism. There's one being in this universe that offers salvation to mankind, and that is our Father in heaven, only one. This was true in the Old Testament and is true today in the New. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 37. Psalms chapter 37, verse 39. David writes, but the salvation of the righteous is of Yahweh. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. You know, if there is any one truth that we can find in David's Psalms, it's the close relationship he had with his Father in heaven. David put all his devotion, all his faith, all his courage in the one whom he worshipped. He knew that there was nothing that he could not accomplish or achieve through Yahweh's help. He was able to slay a man twice his height with every advantage, with nothing more than faith in his Father in heaven. But even greater than that, through that same faith, was he able to foresee Yahweh's eternal salvation. I believe few men have ever had the love, the faith, the insight into Yahweh's salvation as David once did. We can also find this in the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 2, verse 21. And it shall be, Peter speaking, it shall be that whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. Now we know that this passage is from Joel chapter 2, an Old Testament prophetic passage foretelling of Yahweh's salvation. Here we see that Peter in his dynamic message on the day of Pentecost quotes from this Old Testament prophecy. And as we see here, it's through Yahweh's name that we find salvation again, showing that salvation is only through Yahweh. It's only through our Father in heaven. The deity of Islam can't save us. The deities of Hinduism or Buddhism can't save us. The deity of Zoroastrianism, the Persian religion, can't save us. No other being but for Yahweh offers this salvation. It's through Yahweh's name, through who He is, that we have the promise of eternal life today. So Yahweh's salvation is available to all. That's the truth grounded in Yahweh's word. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 67. Psalms chapter 67. There's so much in the Psalms regarding salvation, eternal life, the blessings of Yahweh. Psalms chapter 67, verse 1. We're going to read this entire psalm. Psalm chapter 67, verse 1. Elohim, be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known upon earth. Now listen to this. Your salvation among what? Among all nations. All nations. Let the peoples praise You, Elohim. Let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You will judge the peoples with equity and govern the nations. Again, nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise You, O Elohim. Let all the peoples praise You. The earth has yielded its increase. Elohim, even our own Elohim, will bless us. Elohim will bless us. Now listen to this. And all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. David writes here that Yahweh's salvation is among what? All nations. Now, if I were to read this passage without knowing it's in Psalms, I would probably say that it's somewhere found in the New Testament. After all, we see here that Yahweh's salvation is given to all nations, not just to the Jews or to the Hebrews, but to all of mankind, as it says here. This promise of salvation was never totally, even in the Old Testament, restricted to the Hebrews, to the descendants of Jacob. In the Old Testament, other peoples from different nations could also be grafted in, as we are today, into that same promise of salvation. For example, one of the greatest women of Scripture in both the genealogy of David and Joshua was neither Jewish nor Hebrew, but Moabite. And yet she shared in the promise of salvation. We know this woman by the name of Ruth. Turn now with me to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 5. Isaiah is known for its messianic prophecies, and we're going to look at one now. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 5. And now, says Yahweh, that formed me from the womb to be His servant. We also find that in Jeremiah, that Jeremiah was formed in the womb, was known in the womb, showing that life begins in the womb. To bring Jacob again to Him, and that Israel be gathered to Him, for I am honorable in the eyes of Yahweh, and my Elohim has become my strength. And He said, it is too light a thing that You should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore and preserve of Israel. I will also give You for a light to the Gentiles, that You may be my salvation, what? To the ends of the earth. The passage that we see here is a messianic prophecy foretelling of Yahshua's coming to this earth as our Savior. The reason we know this is Luke, in chapter 2, verse 32, applies this prophecy to the Messiah, to Yahshua. According to Isaiah, this person was going to be made a servant to Israel, to Judah. But not only that, but a light of salvation to the Gentiles, to all peoples throughout the earth, to the ends of the earth, it says. It's interesting, this passage was prophesied some 700 years before Yahshua's sacrifice as our Savior. 700 years. You see, all the way back in the book of Isaiah, again, 700 years before our Redeemer, was Yahshua's life, redemption, and resurrection prophesied by one of Yahweh's greatest prophets. From the beginning, it was Yahweh's plan to supply a means of salvation for all mankind. How often do we see in both Old and New Testament not to show partiality in judgment? Do you really believe that Yahweh would show partiality with something as important and significant as salvation? It's never been Yahweh's will to see mankind perish without the hope of salvation. We know this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. It says, Yahweh is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is longsuffering toward us, not, listen to this, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. According to Peter, it's not Yahweh's will that anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance, thus achieving life eternal with Yahweh and his Son. This is Yahweh's will. It's his desire for mankind. But as we also see here, to achieve it, we must do something. We must do something on our part, and that is to repent. We must repent. We'll see more on this later when it comes to salvation, to eternal life, that we do have an obligation on our part. The fact, though, that we see that it's Yahweh's will that all mankind be saved shows his love, shows his compassion, his long-suffering, as Peter says here, toward all man. He's very patient with us, full of compassion and grace and mercy. I don't believe that we understand or can understand, not fully anyway, the mercy and grace that Yahweh shows to us. I just don't think we can understand it. How often do people look at Yahweh and see a harsh and stern Mighty One, Father in heaven? But considering who he's dealing with, I don't think the truth could be further from the truth. I think it'd be safe to say that if we were Yahweh, we would have wiped ourselves out a long time ago. But we know that Yahweh is different. Yahweh is different. Yahweh has great loving kindness and compassion toward all man. And his will is to see all saved if we would only repent. Yahweh would give anything to see us achieve eternal life, to see us walk and run that race, to finish that goal. Matter of fact, he did. He did. He gave his only Son so that we might be saved. John chapter 3, verse 16. We should all be familiar with this passage. John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, therefore Yahweh so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes on him should not perish, but have what? Have eternal life. Eternal life. It says here that Yahweh so loved the world. He loved us so much that he gave his only Son, that's all he had, his only Son, so that we might be saved. What a great gift. Have you ever considered the great significance that Yahweh suffered for you and me, for those who might have a son or daughter? Could you imagine sacrificing them as Yahweh did for our sins and the sins of others? Can you imagine watching your only son or daughter die, going through the horrific pain that Yahshua suffered for us, for a people who were undeserving, who forsook him, who would not acknowledge him? Yahweh sacrificed his perfect Son for a people who were undeserving of that sacrifice. Think about it. What makes us deserving of Yahweh's love and of Yahshua's sacrifice, his redemption? Consider man's history for just a moment. Consider our 6,000 years of rebellion, our refusal to obey and listen to our Father in heaven, our persistence to do it our way. Why did Yahweh sacrifice his only Son for us and our sins? Very simply put, Yahweh loves mankind. And as Peter wrote some 2,000 years ago, desires that no one would perish, but that all would come to repentance, would see their sin. Now you would think that considering the horrific death that Yahshua suffered for our sins, that people today would be appalled at sin more than ever. But instead of seeing this abhorrence of sin, we see more sin than ever before. Every time we knowingly sin against Yahweh's word, we put Yahshua again to an open shame and show that we have more respect and more concern for our carnal nature than for our Savior. Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Along with Yahshua and salvation being the way of salvation, we know that there's one name that offers salvation. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "There is no other, none other is your salvation. For neither is there any other name under heaven which is given among men, and which we must be saved." Now, it doesn't matter what name we call on when it comes to salvation. According to what we find here, it absolutely matters. It absolutely matters what name we use, what name we call on. As we saw from Psalm, salvation ultimately comes from Yahweh, not from Allah, not from Vishnu, not from any other mighty one. In the same way, we only have one Savior, and He has one name, not two, not three, not four, one. That name is Yahshua. No other name, including the substitute we commonly hear, offers salvation. There's one name. There's one name under heaven, it says, in which we find salvation. This is the reason why baptism into Yahshua's name is absolutely necessary. Immersion into the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or the name of J-S-U-S, is not the same as Yahshua's baptism, His immersion. Just as there's one name and where we find salvation, there's one baptism and one giving of Yahweh's Spirit. And again, all that's through one name, Yahshua's name, and where we find our salvation today. As there's one name, we know that we're justified also by one man, Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. "But Yahweh commands His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, the Messiah died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, shall we be saved from the wrath," notice that, "the wrath of Elohim through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to Yahweh through the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also rejoice in Yahweh through the sovereign Yahshua the Messiah, through whom we have now received the reconciliation." Here we see again the reason for Yahshua's sacrifice, His willingness to die for our sins, and Yahweh's willingness to see His Son die. It says here that while we were yet sinners, while we were unworthy, Yahweh commanded that His only Son die for our sins. In doing this, Yahshua justified us from our sins and saved us, it says, from Yahweh's wrath. That's right, Yahweh has wrath. And Yahshua's blood, His sacrifice, saves us from that wrath. Now, what does it mean to be justified before Yahweh through Yahshua? The word justified in verse 9 comes from a Greek word meaning to declare or pronounce one to be just or righteous. So as we see here, through Yahweh's love and through Yahshua's blood, are we made righteous apart from what we do, apart from our works, apart from our deeds. We're made righteous. You see, we can't earn justification. Thus, the reason salvation is a gift and not something we earn, because we can't earn it. To earn salvation through Yahweh's word, we would have to be without sin. And we know that with man, this is impossible, with the exception of one. For this reason, we must rely on Yahshua's blood, the justification that comes only through His redemption. Paul goes on here and says that though we were once enemies to Yahweh through our sins, we are now reconciled through Yahshua's death and his sacrifice. As we saw in my last message, sin requires what? It requires restitution, right? It requires restitution. And through Yahshua's blood, that restitution was offered, making way for justification, so that we're justified before Yahweh. Salvation today comes only through Yahshua's blood, his sacrifice, and beyond that, salvation is not found. As Yahshua said, if you have not the Son, you have not the Father. If we reject Yahshua's sacrifice, his resurrection, all that he did, his redemption, then we also reject his Father, our Father in heaven, Yahweh. When it comes to salvation, there are certain conditions in which we must follow. We must be a participant with salvation. Romans chapter 10, we're going to see our first condition here. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Verse 9 says, because you shall confess with your mouth that Yahshua is sovereign, and shall believe in your heart that Yahweh raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Notice what Paul said there. Confess with our mouth. For with a heart man believes to righteousness, and with a mouth confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him shall not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same master is sovereign of all. Again, Yahweh's salvation is open to all nations, all men. It doesn't matter who we are, what nationality we are. It doesn't matter. It says, and to the rich and to all that call upon him. For whoever shall call on the name of Yahweh shall be saved. To be saved, we must believe and confess two important, vital truths. These truths we cannot substitute. We can't ignore. Truth number one, Yahshua died and shed his blood to atone for our sins. That's absolutely required of us. And we must confess that with our mouth, with our confession. Number two, Yahshua is resurrected and is with his Father today. Two foundational truths. If we don't have these foundational truths, then our whole system of belief is in vain. If we don't believe and confess that Yahshua both died for our sins and was resurrected to Yahweh's right hand, then our faith does absolutely no good. And if you don't believe that there's people out there who forsake Yahshua's resurrection, think again. I know people in the sacred name who are rethinking even the resurrection. So think again. There's not a greater truth in the New Testament than for Yahshua's sacrifice and his redemption for our sins. If it were not for Yahshua, his sacrifice, his shed blood, we would have no to little hope today. It's Yahshua's sacrifice that makes it possible salvation for us. This was the foundational truth that the apostles taught 2,000 years ago, and it's the same truth that we hold to today. Again, without this confession of faith, what we do, what we believe, is absolutely worthless. If we don't confess and believe in Yahshua's sacrifice, his redemption, and his resurrection, then we have no purpose and no hope in this life, and more importantly, in the life to come. Another condition of salvation is endurance. We must have endurance as Yahweh's people. Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, Yahshua's Olivet prophecy, one of the most amazing prophecies in Yahweh's word. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13. But he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. If there is any one condition when it comes to salvation, it's endurance. Now, Yahshua prophesied here that he who endured to the end, to the very end, without wavering, would be saved. I believe that much like many of the characteristics we find in Yahweh's word, that endurance is an attribute that we learn through overcoming trials and tribulation. Certainly patience is learned in that way. And that's exactly what we see here in this passage. This is again Yahshua's Olivet prophecy. And here we have the prophetic signs of the end of this age. what we'll see is Yahshua's return approaches. During this time, Yahshua speaks of wars, famine, earthquakes, the proliferation of sin like no other, many other signs that will befall mankind before Yahshua's coming. All these trials will test Yahweh's people like never before. If we believe that we've had trials so far, we better think again. We really should. Because if we're alive during this time, we have seen nothing yet. The tribulation that will come to pass before Yahshua's coming will be far worse than any other time in our past, any other time in man's past. That's prophesied. That will happen. If you're going through a hard trial, difficult time that's causing you to question your faith, you better buck up and realize what you have. If you've lost a job, be thankful for your health, your family, and for Yahweh. If you're suffering from spousal problems, be thankful for Yahweh's word and a promise of greater things to come. You know, one thing that we as human beings suffer from is a lack of foresight, I believe. We just don't really have the foresight we should. As human beings, it's our nature to become depressed and even at times ready to throw in the towel to quit. And even Jeremiah was ready to quit at times. But as we, as Yahweh's people, we should never forget what awaits the called of Yahweh, what awaits those who will be found worthy of that great calling. We should never forget that truth, that promise that Yahweh has given each and every one of us. And I wonder sometimes for those who do forsake the truth, if they ever fully had faith, if they ever really had faith in Yahweh's promise of salvation. Think about it. If we had faith in Yahweh's word and his promises, we would stop at nothing to achieve them. Nothing would stop us. But yet you see people leave the faith every day. For those who desire eternal life, Yahweh's kingdom, endurance is absolutely essential. Absolutely. Without endurance, we'll never be found worthy of Yahweh's calling. If we can't endure the trials and tribulation of this life, what makes us worthy to be called sons and daughters of His, of the Most High? The bottom line is this: Yahweh desires a people who will put Him first. What did He tell Joshua? Be courageous. He wants us to be strong, no matter what the persecution or tribulation. And if we're unable to do this, we're no good to our Father in heaven. Yahweh doesn't want spiritual wimps. He doesn't want them. He wants those who are stable, who are strong, and willing to endure through trial and tribulation and do what they must for His word. Let's now move on to another condition, and that is Yahweh's word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a babe you have known the sacred writings, and Paul here is writing to Timothy, writings which are able to do what? Make you wise to salvation through faith, which is in the Messiah, Yahshua. Every scripture Yahweh breathed is also profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, which is in righteousness, that the man of Yahweh may be complete, furnished completely to every good work. Paul writes here to young Timothy to stay true to the sacred writings, to Yahweh's word, which is able to do what? Able to make one wise unto salvation. Able to make one wise to salvation. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12 said this: there is a way which seems right to a man, but the end of it is a ways of death. This goes back to the first passage we looked at, and that is that Yahweh is the only source of salvation. As we know that no other mighty one can offer salvation, we know that no other book besides the one we have right here offers this same promise. We can't turn to the ancient writings of Hinduism or Buddhism for the truth that we have here in this book. We just can't do it. There's one source. If we desire to achieve eternal life, then we must do as Paul told young Timothy, and that is to follow his word, to follow the holy scriptures, the sacred writings that we've known. Paul says here that Yahweh's word is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. Truth be told, the book that we have in front of us is all we need to live not only a fulfilling life now, but I believe a fulfilling life in the future. People try to find fulfillment in their jobs and their careers and their families and activities and hobbies and whatever else. But yet true fulfillment is found right here. You need to go no further than what we find right here in Yahweh's Word. That's where fulfillment is found. Paul understood that. You see, this book that we call the Bible is a blueprint, I believe, for man's salvation, for man's life, for man's happiness, for everything that man is. This is all we need to know how to live, how to behave, and how to achieve the great promise of salvation. Turn to James. James chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, putting away all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, receive with meekness what? The implanted word. The implanted word which is able to save your souls. Here we have a passage from Yahshua's own brother. And here we have him saying, receive the implanted word which is able to do what? Save your souls. James here is writing to the tribes of the diaspora, the dispersion of the tribes, and encouraging them to allow Yahweh's word to implant and to guide them to salvation. As Paul understood, James knew that salvation could only be found in one place, and that is right here in his word, Yahweh's living, breathing word. Keep in mind also that during this time when this was written, all they had was the Old Testament. The New Testament was not yet compiled. Salvation was found in the Old. It's certainly found in the New today. Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. Another condition that we must follow if we yearn for salvation. Acts chapter 10, verse 34. And Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that Yahweh is no respecter of persons. No respect. He doesn't put somebody above someone else because of their nationality or because of some other characteristic. He doesn't respect persons. But in every nation, he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. The account that we have here is significant for many reasons. Number one, in this passage, we have the first Gentile convert, an Italian named Cornelius. We also see in this passage what Yahweh requires of us when we're immersed into Yahshua's name. Peter told Cornelius in verse 35 that all who feared Yahweh and all who worked righteousness were acceptable to him. So number one, we're to fear Yahweh. Now, what does it mean to fear Yahweh, to fear our Maker? Paul told the Philippians to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. Fear and trembling. Fear for Yahweh means more than reverence, means more than respect. Certainly includes that. But fear for Yahweh also implies a healthy emotion of alarm or trepidation. When we knowingly sin without repentance, we better feel a fear of retribution. Nowhere in Yahweh's word is rebellion allowed. When we go astray from Yahweh's word, there's a penalty to be paid. And if we don't rely on Yahshua's blood, it will be taken elsewhere. Now, what does it mean to work righteousness, as Peter here told Cornelius? I believe the answer lies in Ecclesiastes 12. Turn there with me, if you would. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Solomon wrote there, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. All has been heard. Fear Elohim. And do what? Keep his commandments. For this is the whole of man. For Elohim will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. And the NIV verse 14 reads, for Elohim will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. What Solomon is saying here is this, no matter what we do, no matter what we do in this life, whether it is good or evil, there's no escaping Yahweh's judgment. When Yahweh considers the deeds of man, he will consider all things, again, all things, both good and evil. Now notice what Solomon said in verse 13. Let's back up for just a moment. He gave two attributes that I believe define the purpose of man. they define the purpose of man, maybe the meaning of life, you might say. Those are, number one, to fear Yahweh, and number two, to keep his commandments. I believe that this defines the purpose of man here on earth. Not only do these attributes define man's purpose, but there are also two conditions of eternal salvation. We must do them. And we've already seen that we must fear Yahweh, our Father in heaven. But we see here that we must do more. We must keep his commandments. Peter told Cornelius to work righteousness. I will ask again, what does this mean? How is it done? We know that Yahweh's righteousness is found in his word, his laws, his commandments. The way we work righteousness is by keeping Yahweh's commandments, by living the way he says to live. We must keep all of Yahweh's word when it comes to his moral laws, his commands. We must keep the Sabbath, the feast days, clean food laws, the law of tithing that shows our heart, and also show love and compassion to our neighbor. Remember, that too is in the Torah, to love our neighbor, to show compassion and mercy to the fatherless, to those who are without. All those commands are in the Torah. People often forget that. People often forget that Yahweh has many laws in his word that deals with compassion and mercy and love. If you want to know how to work righteousness, as I know we all do, how to please our Father in heaven, then we need to dig deep into his word. Trust me when I say that Yahweh doesn't make it hard to know his will for us. He doesn't make it difficult. That's not his will. You know, what makes it difficult, really, is our obstinate heart and our carnal nature that refuses to sacrifice and obey. When you get down right to it, it's our fault. It's not Yahweh's. He doesn't hide it. He told the Israelites to sneer to you. It's right there. Read it. But I think oftentimes it comes down to our obstinate heart, our carnal nature. I truly believe that if anything prevents us from knowing Yahweh's will for us, it's our unwillingness to change and sacrifice for his word. The fault is ours, not Yahweh's word. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. Another condition going along with what we saw in Ecclesiastes 12:13. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says, "And having been made perfect," speaking of Yahshua, "he became to all them that obey," do what? "Obey him, the author of eternal salvation." Eternal salvation. So here we see that Yahshua becomes the way of salvation for all those who obey Yahweh's word. You see, we must do something. From this passage, we see that it takes more than a verbal confirmation of our faith. It requires a willingness to obey. Now, are we told in the New Testament what we must obey? What we must obey? Is there a passage specifying what we must obey to be found worthy of salvation through Yahshua's blood? Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, the last chapter, the last book. Practically the last statement in Yahweh's word. And what does he say? Here's what he says. Verse 14, chapter 22. "Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in by the gates into the city." This passage is speaking about Yahweh's kingdom. And here we see that to enter into that kingdom, we must do what? We must keep his commandments. So from Hebrews 5 and Revelation 22, do we find that it's our obligation, our requirement, to obey by keeping and doing Yahweh's will, his laws, his commandments. The teaching that Martin Luther proposed, that we're saved by faith alone, could not be further from the truth. Simply could not be. To be saved, we must be a participant. We must participate in our salvation. We must contribute by obeying and doing Yahweh's will. If we're not willing to do this, then we won't achieve the greatest promise in Yahweh's word. We'll fall short when it comes to salvation. If we're not willing to obey and to sacrifice in what we do and say now, it means absolutely nothing. One last aspect of salvation, and that is free. We've talked about our obligations, but we also need to understand it's free. It is a free gift from our Father in heaven. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 19. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you presented your members as servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now present your members as servants to righteousness and to sanctification. You see, there's a process. When we're in our sins, we serve sin. We serve iniquity. When we come out of our sin, we are servants, it says, to righteousness and to sanctification. We're set apart for Yahweh. We're set apart. That's what sanctification means, to be set apart, to be sanctified. Verse 24, when you were servants of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You had none, is what he's saying. You had no righteousness. What fruit did you have at that time in the things of which you are now ashamed? How many people today are ashamed of their past sins? I can't name too many. For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and having become servants to Yahweh, you have your fruits to sanctification. They're set apart to Yahweh. And the end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of Yahweh is eternal life in the Messiah, Yahshua, our Master. We see two important truths in this passage. Number one, when we're immersed and when we come to the knowledge of Yahweh's truth, we must not live in sin any longer. We can't continue in sin once we're immersed into Yahshua's name, once we know right and wrong. And number two, salvation is not something earned, but a gift that we find through Yahshua's sacrifice, through His blood, through His redemption. We've already heard this. We're not saved by what we do, by our own works, but we're saved freely with Yahshua's shed blood. Even though we've seen that we have obligations, we have conditions on our part when it comes to salvation in the end, we know that salvation is, again, not earned. It's a gift. Let's face it. If we were attempting to earn our salvation, we would all fall miserably short. Not a person in this room is deserving of salvation. Not a single person. Not a single person listening is deserving of salvation. In the end, we know that salvation is a gift. It's a gift. Not one of us can be justified by our own righteousness. We know that all we can do as human beings, as Yahweh's people, is to throw ourselves on Yahweh's throne of mercy and pray for His grace and Yahshua's blood, that they are enough to wash away our sins of the wretched person we are. You know, but praise be to Yahweh because they are sufficient. His mercy, His grace, Yahshua's blood, they're more than sufficient, more than enough to freely save all who strive to follow Yahweh's will. You know, we have an awesome Redeemer. And no matter what we've done, we can find forgiveness. And that's the wonderful thing about Yahshua's blood and what he's done for us. Turn to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. That in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and kindness toward us in the Messiah Yahshua. For by grace have you been saved through faith. So we're saved by grace through our faith in Yahweh. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is a gift of Yahweh. Not of works that no man should glory or boast. We've done nothing to deserve what we've been given. For we are His workmanship, crafted in the Messiah Yahshua for good works, which Yahweh previously prepared that we should walk in them. No matter what people might say, those who strive to do Yahweh's will from a sincere heart will be freely saved through Yahweh's love, His mercy, His grace, and Yahshua's redemption and sacrifice. As Paul says here, not by our works, not from what we've done, not that we can boast about anything we've done in this life, but from Yahweh's grace and mercy and from Yahshua's shed blood are we saved. Let us never forget the great promise that awaits the called and chosen of Yahweh. Let us prepare for this coming day by obeying his word, relying on the mercy and grace of our Father in heaven and the great redemption offered through our Savior. And may Yahweh bless you all.